Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of Wikicuriosity Media or its affiliates. Wikicuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on Wikicuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the Wikicuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan.
And I am Alex.
And you can join us. All you got to do is call in 718-664-9735. Again, 718-664-9735. That'll bring you into the studio with us. You can also hit us up on Twitch at Wicked Curiosity Media. Hit us up on our live chat. You can also find us on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show and at Wicked Curiosity Media. Hit us up on YouTube at Wicked Curiosity Media. Go ahead and find us over in iTunes at Wikicuriosity Media and check out our archived shows at blogtalkradio.com/Wikicuriosity Media and find us on Twitch at Wicked_Angel. I would say the website, but that is in desperate need of updating. And I just have not had time yet. So eventually I will be able to get to that and get our website updated and hopefully, you know, get us back on the road and stuff like that. So, but it is another wonderful Wednesday. And really haven't done a whole lot. I'm trying to think of anything that I've, like, anything interesting that I've done. Other than, so we did not have a show last Sunday, mainly because the movie was horrible. But, we did not have a show last Sunday, because... honestly, I was in the pool with the help of my co-host, Zach, trying to get the pool cleaned up, trying to get all the leaves and all the nastiness off the bottom, trying to get ready. I'm about a week behind on opening it as of right now. Hopefully by this weekend, it will be clear and clean enough to where I can get it open and we can start enjoying this wonderful weather and, you know, go swimming and stuff. So of course we'll only be able to enjoy it for a week before we go on vacation. So
yeah,
but when we come back, you know, we'll be able to enjoy it. So other than that, you know, like I was saying before we went live, mowed the front yard today, worked on, I'm trying to get, so you've seen the pool. I've got the pump and stuff like that. We got a new pump. I had to get a new pump because the other pump just cracked out. And it takes disposable filters. And things for pools are not cheap, like shock and filters and stuff like that. And when you're trying to clean out the pool and when you're trying to, you know, get it all ready and set, you can go through a lot of filters. So one thing that I've been trying to do is just trying to clean up the filters that I have enough to where I can use them to, you know, just clean the pool before I get a couple more in. So, because once the pool's clean, those filters will last forever.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, just trying to get those clean and, you know, soaking them in OxiClean and spraying them off and stuff like that. However, the tote that I am using was the same tote that the producer used to clean the big dog with. And he drilled holes in the bottom of the tote so that water wouldn't pool in there.
What?
Yeah. Drilled holes in the bottom of the tote. The thing is so I used like the Flex Seal and the Flex Tape to kind of try and seal those up. And it did not work.
Let's back up a second.
Uh-huh.
The producer.
Uh-huh.
Drilled a hole, holes.
Yeah, multiple.
In a tub.
In a tote, like a big plastic tote. That
okay.
You store stuff in with a lid.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
So water wouldn't pool up?
So that water wouldn't stay in it while he's trying to wash the dog.
Okay. I might be stupid, but I'm a bit confused.
So from what I'm gathering, the tote was to keep the dog somewhat contained because our big dog is kind of a... She can be a little rowdy at times and not want to stand still.
Uh-huh.
But he put her in there and then is, you know, washing her and rinsing her and stuff like that. And this is so that the water wouldn't, like, elevate. It wouldn't stay in the tub, in the tote. I mean, it's a good idea in theory. But then it just makes that tote completely useless.
Why put her in the tote?
Here's
the thing. I know her situation, the dog.
Uh-huh. The thing is that she's a little less feisty now.
Well, the thing is, out of the thousands of dogs, not thousands of dogs, but the thousands of times that I have washed the dog.
Uh-huh.
A, I don't really do it outside.
Well, she's bigger and she couldn't make it up the stairs to our tub.
True.
She's difficult.
B, I do it in a bathtub.
And
but
that,
if you do it outside, you don't need to contain the water. Like, the dog doesn't have to bathe in the water. You shower the dog. Like, they don't sit in the water or nothing. You shower the dog and clean the dog. I just don't know what the tote was for.
The tote was to keep her from running away, I assume?
Put her on a tighter leash? He's not allowed to wash that dog unless I'm down there anymore. I could have found a much, much easier way to wash that dog. Not to make fun of the producer, but I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. ask for help. Hey, this is kind of a big dog. I need some help containing her. Now I'm going to pick her up and put her in a tote that has holes drilled in it.
I mean, I can see the thought process behind it.
I can, and I know exactly how he was thinking and what he was thinking. If I would have been there, that plan would have not have gone through.
Yeah. Yeah.
He needs somebody there to tell him, hey, it's not a good idea. Somebody was not there to tell him, hey, it's not a good idea.
Yeah, no, no, somebody was not. But that's okay, because, you know.
It's just a tote. It's not like it was like a, you know, a dog bathtub thing.
No, no, it was,
or like
literally a $10 tote that I spent $30 on Flex Seal stuff for to try and fix. That didn't work.
I'm proud of his innovation, though. He had a
yes,
problem,
yes.
And he solved it. He just didn't think of any other solutions.
He just didn't check out the beat while the DJ revolved it.
Yeah, I'm not laughing at him. I am.
Oh, I am.
But it's not in a malicious or mean way.
No, it's not. It's in a, why
come
did
on.
You?
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. You're, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to call you an idiot. Come on.
Uh-oh.
Sometimes you gotta be...
Yeah. She was definitely clean for about a week.
Yeah.
And then she went right back into her cage and continued to tear up her bed and, you know, was still going outside to pee. But at least she was clean. So.
Good deal.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, you know, it definitely is what it is. But anyway,
you know how when you like capture an animal and you got to poke holes in it?
Just turn the toe upside down, not the dog. Oh God! You're not gonna let this go, are you?
No, because see, what he could have done was just cut the whole bottom out of the tote, and then he wouldn't have to lift the dog. He could just flip it over on top of her. His mind amazes me sometimes. I'll tell you what.
I can, like I said, I can understand the thought process behind it.
I know why he did it. I know what he did and why he did it. I know how he did it. Come on.
And the thing is he'll argue that it was, you know, the smartest thing that he's ever done. Come on. That's what he's going to do.
No, it was smart.
It worked.
It worked. It's not, what's that saying? It's not stupid if it works.
Yeah. I'm not calling it stupid. I am calling it innovative.
Right, because it is a solution.
It was a solution to a problem
didn't exist. There's a better solution to the problem that didn't need a solution.
It was the Rogue One of dog bathing.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. It was the Rogue One of dog bathing. That poor dog, probably so confused.
I'm glad he's not in the studio right now.
No, this would have turned into an argument that, again, you're not wrong. It works.
Yeah. Overcomplicating a simple project.
Yeah, I just love how his mind works. once he figures up a solution to a problem, there's no other solution besides that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in this case, nobody was around to tell him, like, hey, what if we just do this?
The thing is, even if you give him a simpler solution, he's like, no, this is going to work better. This is going to be simple.
Oh, yeah. Countless times that's happened. You've seen it. You've done it. Hey, what if we do it this way? Yeah, no, I'm gonna do it this way. Oh, okay. Well.
You do it that way, I'll do it this way.
Uh-huh. And his way works.
Twice as long and twice as hard.
Just not as good as others. I would love to see him design something for the military.
Those are the people that design stuff for the military.
Oh, man.
So anyway, now I've got a coat that's got holes in it that can't hold water and OxyClean in it.
Right, now what's that tote good for?
Nothing. I'm going to try and flexi-seal it again.
Just keep
the entire
it for the
fucking bottom.
Just keep it for the dog. That's the highlight of my day. Innovation that works.
Uh-huh.
God, he should work for Mazda. Or BMW, either one.
Or Subaru.
Any German manufacturer will take them.
I mean, if you look at Subarus, like the H-style engine, it's overcomplicating.
But
it already exists. It works. But it's overcomplicating an already existing product.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, I've never understood the reasoning behind the Subaru engine. I guess I don't need to know unless it works.
Because
it's
cool.
It works. You don't derive more power.
It's reliable. You can't push
any
power out of it.
You know what? He should become an automotive engineer. Because they overcomplicate.
I certainly hope not. He better not touch any Toyotas.
The automotive. Just purely automotive. It doesn't matter. Because the newer vehicles that I see that come to my store that I work on, like it's so I will have, I'm going to take the Silverado 1500, for example,
mm-hmm.
okay? Changing a battery. We start mm-hmm. out, we'll start out in the early, just 2000, beginning of the century, okay?
Mm-hmm.
5 minute job, okay? You take out the battery hold down, you take off the terminals, you take the battery out, you put the battery in. Done, right? Okay. So we start getting, you know, around 2009, 2010. Now they move the battery up, you know, on the opposite side, up at the firewall. Still not a major issue, but they've got like a cross member that goes, a little curved cross member that goes from the side quarter panel up to the cab, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not an issue. 4 bolts, you take that thing out. That's, you know, a couple extra seconds, about, you know, 30 to 45 seconds to the job. But now as we start getting into, like, 2014, 2015, 2016, now we're starting to get into a little more of an issue. Because now is it not only up against the firewall, now we've got the engine coolant reservoir right in front of it, which is, as you know, about 300 degrees. And now, instead of a little round-looking half-U thing, now we've got a solid bar that goes from the right quarter panel up to the, you know, chat, the main part of the cab. But now we've got another little J bar that's connected to that that goes into the battery, the battery box, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now you've got three bolts plus a battery hold down, and you've got a computer on top. Small one. You know, now I've gone from, you know, maybe 5 minutes changing a battery to now 10, because, you know, you've got those extra steps. And now we get up into 2019 where, and now the battery has grown in size. Where it used to be able, you know, you just kind of tilt it up and pull it out. Now we're into 2019 where you've got that cross member, you've got that little J hook, you've got that tie down. Now you've got this massive computer on that if you have nobody to hold it out of the way, you cannot move it. You cannot, like, secure it. You know, like, normally you can, like, hook things onto other parts of the car and move them out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now I have to have somebody hold that. And now in order for me to get the battery out, now I have to kind of lift it, move it to the quarter panel, tilt it on its side, and then kind of, like move it and twist it out and pull it out. And this is not a light battery. It's a very cumbersome battery, and there's an engine coolant reservoir right next to it on top of the hot-ass engine that you're working right next to. And the coolant hoses. So now I've gone from a 5-minute battery 20 years ago to a 20, 30, you know, sometimes 40-minute battery, depending on who's doing it.
Yeah.
Overcomplication. You know, I had this tote that was perfect, that did what it was supposed to do, and now I have a tote with holes in it. That is useless. Except to bathe the dog.
Turns a 10-minute bathing job for the dog into a 20.
Because you spent 10 minutes, you spent 5 minutes getting the dog in there, and then you spent 5 minutes getting the dog out.
Plus the time it took him to drill the holes.
Yeah.
And find the tools to drill the holes.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. He'd be perfect.
Yeah.
At yep. Automotive.
Yep. Yep. I cuss automotive engineers every time I have to do something on a car. It can't be simple.
Nope.
No. Okay.
I'm going to get a kick out of that for a while.
You're going to piss him off. And then you're going to piss off at me. But that's okay.
I'm not the one that drilled the holes in the bucket.
Now we've got a religious tote.
Yeah. Holy.
Yes, it is.
She was baptized in it. You're lucky that water didn't turn to wine.
Oh, so now I get to ask Austin if he baptized Mika in the tote. You're going to be like, huh? It's holy. Oh, God. Okay.
Not stupid if it works.
This is true. This is true. It's just more complicated. Okay, moving on. Kind of, trying to. We'll probably get back to this at some point tonight.
Probably.
Anyway, results from... Okay, so for the past, what, month, 2 months, something like that?
Since, like, March.
Okay, yeah. If you've been living under a rock, if you don't know about the Amber Heard, Johnny Depp trial, you've been living under a rock. You know, Johnny Depp is suing Amber for defamation of character. And, you know, because she was making all kinds of claims and accusations against him that just weren't true. And so today we got the verdict. And Johnny Depp won the court case.
Well, he technically won the court case, but I still don't think he won like he should have.
No, I agree.
She won that case too. She got money out of it. You know, they were both found liable for abuse and stuff. It's just
which I think is stupid.
Her defamation of character and abuse were far worse than what anything Johnny did.
Yeah.
But you know, he was awarded $15 million out of the 50 he was suing her for, I believe. And then she got $2 million somehow, which freaking baffles me, but
yeah, I don't understand why she got anything, why she was awarded anything.
I don't know. It's because there was just some things in the trial. Like, not necessarily things that Johnny Depp did, but it was just the result of, you know, damage fees, I guess, to her character. Like,
yeah.
People just hating and wanting, you know, wanting her gone from everything. Which is going to be true for the most part. I think Amber Heard's time in Hollywood is done for a while.
Look, Amber is... I would be surprised if any studio, whether it's a big Hollywood studio, whether it's these, you know, the streaming platforms or anything like that, I would be surprised if anybody touched her. Like she is essentially blacklisted. And I mean,
yeah.
At the same time, Johnny was blacklisted like a couple of years before this trial started. They took him away from Fantastic Beasts, Disney, you know, kicked him out of the Pirates of the Caribbean project. And so essentially, you know, he's kind of been blacklisted from some of the bigger major studios in Hollywood.
I think if it came down to it, though, like if Disney was like, hey, we got this movie idea, or if, you know, Universal, Paramount, whatever company, Warner Bros. Approached him and was like, hey, we have a movie, blah, 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 blah. I think it would ultimately be Johnny Depp saying, no, you guys screwed me over, sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
basically,
they're greedy bastards and have no morals at all. You know, they dropped them off the face of the earth. Every single company did, besides, you know, a handful, totally dropped him and was like, no, he's a pig. He's this, he's that. And then now that he's been found, unofficially found not guilty, because this was just a defamation trial.
Right.
I think, and they'll be like, well, Johnny, we're sorry, blah, 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 blah. He'll start having offers, but it just depends on which one he takes.
Yeah.
But I think if he really wanted to, he could find work. He could probably find work tomorrow.
He's already got a project that's going to be starting up here soon. From what I've been reading, I mean, it was rumors for a while, but I think it's may have been confirmed. I'll have to look. I think Tim Burton hired him for Beetlejuice 2.
There you go. I think Johnny Depp could find work with Tim Burton. Even if the abuse thing was true, I think you could still find work with Tim Burton.
So right now the cast is Michael Keaton, Winona Ryder, and Johnny Depp.
A good deal. Yeah, and I don't think, Amber Heard's got her 10 minutes in Aquaman, and then after that, I think she's totally done. People have dropped her.
Shit. I'd be surprised if they keep those 10 minutes in, honestly.
Well,
I'd be really surprised.
I think Warner Bros. Were wanting to kick her completely out and, like, you know, completely redo Aquaman 2, the parts that she had. But I've heard Jason Momoa wanted to keep her in, but then again, I've heard certain other people wanted to keep her in, and according to her contract, and blah, 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 blah. But I don't think there's any... Nobody's come out and said, yeah, we want Amber in Aquaman 2 so
yeah.
far.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, speculation and rumor.
But
her time in Aquaman 2 was significantly cut, though. I can't remember her time before, her runtime and screen time before, but now it's 10 minutes. They're like, you got 10 minutes. I do think Warner Bros. Should play it safe and not have her in any advertisement for the movie, or any future advertisement for anything.
Yeah.
And those of you wondering, yes, Johnny Depp got her that role.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think she's still kicking a dead horse, though. You see her, like, after verdict comments.
I missed it. I have not seen anything from it yet.
She was just complaining and whatnot, and she was completely heartbroken, and how this is a massive step back and a blow for women coming out against abuse and blah, 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 blah. And she's made, I don't like how she's turning domestic abuse and domestic violence and sexual abuse, sexual violence into a woman problem. It's an everybody problem. Everybody goes
yeah.
through it. Clearly, everybody goes through it.
Well, the thing is,
it's not a guys have the same problem coming out about that stuff, because you know they think it's embarrassing, like, oh, I just got my ass beat by my girlfriend. Like, it's okay, come out and say what you got to say.
Yeah,
you know, it's not embarrassing. Abuse comes in many different forms. It's not just a man beating the shit out of a woman or yelling at her, you know. Everybody goes through it. It's an everybody problem, not just a female problem.
I agree. And I think that this trial was a big step in opening up that or bringing that to light, you know, because so when we, you know, when we look at celebrities and stuff like that, especially celebrities like Johnny Depp and stuff like, and, you know, and actors like him, we look at him and we're like, okay, well, this is, we have this certain image, certain portrayal of these actors. You know, nobody would have thought that Johnny Depp was a victim of domestic violence and domestic abuse.
No, because he just plays things so
calm and collected.
Yeah, he's a calm, collected guy. He's a cool guy. Like, he just...
Yeah.
He's like a wave. He's just whoosh, you know.
And I hate to say it like this, but I mean, it's kind of true. Now it's, you know, well, if you know, this can happen to Johnny Depp, this can happen
who
to
else?
Anybody. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it doesn't matter what they look like or who they are as a person. It could literally happen to anybody, whether you get seriously hurt from it or you just get a small little bruise on your face, it's the same, you know. There's no,
yeah.
I guess there is a severity to it. Like, if you're just getting, like, the ever-loving shit beat out of you, okay. But, I mean, take both cases with all seriousness. Somebody
yeah.
who's bloodied and bruised compared to somebody who just has a red smack across their face, like, take it as serious, you know. You don't know what's going on.
The thing is abuse is abuse no matter what form it comes in, you know. And I think that this trial can serve as a... Uh, What's the word I'm looking for the phrase?
A catalyst? It can serve as a, you know, service of, not really hope. I would hope that people who are being abused would come out and say, hey, I'm being abused. You don't have to publicly, like, go on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook and say, oh, my significant other is beating me. Go to the police.
Yeah.
You know? If they're shitty police, go to a different police department.
Yeah.
Because I believe domestic violence and domestic abuse is a federal crime.
I'm not
sure. You can go to jail for it, but is it a felony?
Yeah. Hold on.
Or go to somebody you trust, you know? If you don't know somebody you trust, then go to the police.
Okay, so it's generally charged as a misdemeanor offense rather than a felony.
I guess it depends on the severity.
Unless it caused an injury or involved a deadly weapon or child victim. Pattern of abuse can also elevate to a felony or a violation of a restraining order.
I think in this case, Johnny Depp would have a, not really a strong case, but he would have a case of a felony level domestic abuse charge against her. She threw a bottle and cut his finger off. That's a deadly weapon. That's a serious injury.
Yeah.
That could be assault and battery.
So this trial serves as a, or can serve as a, like a show that if you are a victim of domestic violence, if you are a victim of, you know, abuse or anything like that, you have a voice. You know, you don't have to sit there and take it. And it doesn't matter. And that's the other thing. You know, that's the other side of it. Amber Heard consistently lying about, you know, the abuse that she was, quote unquote, receiving. And
we never know. She could have had, Johnny could have, you know, hit back a few times. We'll never know because there's not anybody out there or anybody with revolved around that case that's willing to testify that. Because then, you know, not to play devil's advocate, but Amber Heard does kind of have a point in saying, well, he's a powerful man. Nobody's going to speak out against him. Well, yeah. No, he's Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to speak out against Johnny Depp because the stuff that there's no evidence to support that he's done this. If there is evidence, it's very minute and not really evidence. It's just out there.
Yeah. But we don't know the circumstances surrounding those incidences. You know, I mean, he could have been defending himself or he could have been, you know, taking out his anger. I mean, I'm not saying Amber Heard is 100% wrong. I will say she's 98% wrong.
Yeah, and I mean,
that's
the thing about this case. Yeah, we all hate Amber Heard. But at a certain point, she was involved in it somehow. Like, she was affected. She's a human being. She was affected by it somehow.
Yeah.
Is she a trash human being? Sort of,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. But, you know, she still has feelings. She still has a life to live. You know, she still has a family to support at the end of the day, you know. Was she a victim? Who knows? Not me. Was she affected by it? Definitely. I think they were both heavily affected by this trial and by this whole situation.
And by the whole relationship and, you know, in and of itself. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I'm glad that
some truth was out there and he got to tell his side of the story finally.
Yeah.
And he got to show what actually was, or for the most part, what was going on with everything.
Yeah. So I figured out why Austin did the tote.
Yeah.
It's so the dog didn't step on a bee.
I thought somebody texted you or was like, yeah, Austin, like, I actually explained it. I was like, are we about to look stupid? Because we just made fun of him for it.
No, so the dog wouldn't step on a beat.
I have sent the producer many of memes about this trial, and that has possibly got to be one of the funniest. The memes that came, I know it's a domestic violence and whatever abuse trial, but the memes that came out of this trial, oh my goodness, were they good.
And the TikToks and stuff like that. Oh God, yeah. Yeah, the
my favorite's
value.
Gotta be the wig. Johnny, give me my wig back, Aquaman. You remember that? He wouldn't give her. He was apparently there was in the recording or whatever. He wouldn't give her Nero wig, and apparently he like put it on or something, and she was crying. Just Johnny, hand me my wig back, please. It's not funny. And then he just. Apparently he has the wig on and he goes, Aquaman. There's a couple of videos of it. I'll send them to you because they're just freaking hilarious. And then the B one, somebody, have you seen the animated version of it?
Uh-huh.
She was like, my dog stepped on a bee, and I cut to a bee testifying, and he's like, objection, relevance.
Have you seen the Star Wars TikTok of that?
No.
I'll have to send that to you. I'll have to send it to you. It's hilarious. It's like a shooting because I can't see. Aren't you a little small for a Wookiee? Oh, look. Death Star debris.
I've seen a couple of them like that. My dog stepped on a bee. I really have to pee.
Uh-huh. I'm just trying to take a wee. Or what about the one where there's the big jar, like, on the table, and she thought it was a jar full of cocaine? It was the prop from Pirates of the Caribbean. I've got a jar.
Oh, yeah.
She's
like, there's a jar of cocaine, and then it showed a clip from there. It was like, I've got it, and he's holding up the jar.
And
one of the lawyers was like, so where was this jar of cocaine at? And it showed Jack Sparrow holding up the jar. He said, I've got it. And then the lines of cocaine, the lawyer was like, so does it look like anybody was doing cocaine on this table? And Amber Heard was like, well, I don't know if you know how that works. And the lawyer goes, so you know how cocaine works. You've done it. She's like, yes. lawyer was like, so do you know how, does it look like anybody's done cocaine on this table? And there was just lines of cocaine. Like, it wasn't messed up or nothing. Like, nobody has, like, snorted it or nothing yet. And she then explained to the lawyer, or was trying to explain, like, how cocaine worked and how you do it. And you get a straw and you snort it up. And then she goes, so it doesn't look like anybody's done cocaine off this table yet. Well, do you know how that works? Let's get a jar of a mega pint of wine. You went home and poured yourself a mega pint of wine.
A mega pint?
It's a mega pint. It was a large glass, yes.
Were you there? Or Johnny tearing up Amber's lawyers.
Yeah.
Yes, that is my signature for the third time.
Yeah. They were arguing. They were doing a thing of like, well, just comparing, you know, if they fought and whatnot. And the Amber Heard's lawyer asked Johnny Depp. He was like, so you would say you're significantly larger than Miss Heard, right? And he goes, no, I wouldn't say that.
Oh, my dog stepped on a bee.
My dog stepped on a bee.
I've got a dog dirt.
I love the bee one. My dog stepped on a bee. She shit on his bed.
Yeah. I made a cast of it.
How does that? And then he had to explain to the lawyers how he knew it wasn't dog shit. She was like, the lawyers, so, I knew this just wasn't one of the dogs. And Johnny Depp goes, well, I've picked up the dog's poop before. That was not dog poop.
Oh, the best one yet, though. The best one is the one with Jason Momoa. The fake interview with Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
How do you know it wasn't a fish? Because all the fish are CGI. But I made a cast of it. It's right here. It was a brown fish swimming in the pool.
Roses are red. My dog stepped on a bee who lives in a pineapple under the sea.
Oh, Jesus. Oh. I have a bit of a confession to make.
Your dog stepped on a bee?
My dog stepped on a bee. No. So, anybody that has known me for a while and has listened to any of the shows that I've been on with Note by Note knows that I am not a big fan of Nirvana.
Nope.
Are you looking up memes for I Stepped on a Bee?
I'm looking at them right now. Have you seen the Bee movie? You remember when they go to court? My dog stepped on a bee next to the Amber Heard's Johnny Depp case. She's just playing out at the Bee movie court case.
The bee's going to sue Amber Heard's dog. Anyway. So, I'm not a big fan of Nirvana. Really not. And this thought and this confession came to me while I was actually mowing the grass today. I was also not a huge fan of DC live-action movies for a long time. Wasn't really until you and I, started seriously discussing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we would go back and forth, oh, DC sucks. No, DC's great. You really need to, pay attention and do this. And I've found a new appreciation for DC live-action movies, TV series, and a much deeper appreciation for all of their works, all of their visual media. And so I was mowing the grass today, and this happened to me last time I mowed the grass too, and I want to get the name of this correct. Okay. So you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. I lost your video for a second. I just wanted to make sure everything was still good. So, I've come to have a different appreciation for some Nirvana songs, and it mainly has to do with DC. So, Smells Like Teen Spirit was remade for the Suicide Squad. And it was done fantastically. Smells Like Teen Spirit is actually one of the only Nirvana songs that I can actually stand to listen to by Nirvana. But the remake was actually really good. So, you know, I have a new appreciation for Smells Like Teen Spirit. So I'm mowing the grass, and all of a sudden, Something in the Way by Nirvana comes on. And I'm listening to it, and immediately I think of the movie The Batman with Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
And so I'm listening to the song, and I'm enjoying the song, not because of the Nirvana song, but because when I hear that song, all I can picture is the ending of the movie The Batman. That's where it's most prominent. You know,
yeah.
Where the National Guard is rescuing the citizens of Gotham from the Colosseum. And I, you know, when I hear that song, I get the same feeling that I got when I watched that part of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, so while I don't have an overall appreciation for Nirvana in and of themselves, even though I've caught myself singing a couple of their songs just because I know them and I grew up listening to them. But those two songs in particular are obviously like my top tier Nirvana songs, really the only ones that I can really get into.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've gained a new appreciation for Warner Brothers and, you know, or DC. And through DC, I've actually gained a better appreciation for certain Nirvana songs.
It's funny you say that.
Okay.
I still don't like Nirvana all that much.
No, neither do I.
The thing is I can never, I shouldn't say never. I don't enjoy sitting down and listening to Nirvana. Because it's just, it's not my thing. But I absolutely freaking love when Nirvana is remixed, redone, re-whatever in a movie.
Yeah.
It just fits. It fits, like Something in the Way fits in the Batman perfectly.
Yeah.
Sounds Like Teen Spirit fits right in there. On the other hand, Black Widow did a Nirvana song too, didn't they, in the beginning?
I can find out. Hold on.
I think they did. Did they do Smells Like Teen Spirit?
They did.
Yeah, it was a. It was terrible. I couldn't stand that.
Yeah.
It was like a female cover. And
Molly the J.
Yeah, it sucked. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't know who that artist is. I didn't like your rendition of that song in that movie. I also didn't like that movie at all. Yeah. It's just bad. There was a whole lot of high-pitched noise. It honestly just sounded like a cat getting beat. It sounded like a cat stepped on a bee.
Okay, so it was Lithium that was remade for Suicide Squad. But it was...
Okay.
Oh, hold on. So...
Whatever song... I know what you're talking about. They redid a song in the Suicide Squad.
For the original Suicide Squad.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought there was one in the Suicide Squad. Hold on. Hold on. I could have sworn they did. Maybe they didn't. I thought. All right, hold on, I can tell you. Give me a second. Because there was a there was a version of Smells Like Teen Spirit that was actually pretty good. Maybe it was a Black Widow. Maybe I'm thinking, because the only other ones were the Muppets from 2011 and Pan in 2015. Huh. Okay, so I was wrong. I was thinking of Lithium. The original Suicide Squad movie, the first Suicide Squad movie.
It's certainly very interesting.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like I haven't been wrong before.
It's okay.
It happens.
Or at least your dog didn't step on a bee.
Because of the holy tote. The religious container. Okay.
This has been a very funny episode.
It has. It has. This has definitely been one of our more unique episodes.
Yeah, just kind of going with the flow. We had something scheduled, but...
Yeah.
Between totes and bees and goddamn Amber Heard. Nirvana.
Okay, so I do want to get to at least one of the topics of our show tonight. I want to talk about the first two episodes of Obi-Wan.
Sure.
Okay, so the first two episodes dropped last Friday. Dropped last Friday. Third one dropped today. We are not going to be talking about the third one because it's been out for less than 24 hours and only one of us has seen it. So the first two episodes... go ahead. I'm going to let you start off.
The Kenobi series was the largest, or not largest, most viewed Disney Plus series, original Disney Plus series released to date on opening, like, boom, it drops. Most people viewed on launch day. That's including Mandalorian, WandaVision, Loki. It is the most viewed program on Disney Plus on launch date.
Well, mainly because, I mean, this is something that we have been teased for almost 2 years now.
This is something that's been all but confirmed for like 10 years because we were supposed to get an Obi-Wan movie, and a Boba Fett movie back in the Rogue One days in 2016 and 17 when Star Wars was first coming back and Force Awakens. There were rumors and speculations of having an Obi-Wan movie and having a Boba Fett movie and having a Lando and Solo movie.
Yeah,
we got one of those and it didn't do so hot, and so they made a Disney Plus series.
Yeah, I think we were supposed to get a Darth Vader solo movie as well.
Something like that. There's a whole bunch of anthology solo films that were supposed to come out.
Yeah.
But I guess they changed their mind and made Disney Plus series.
Which makes sense. You know, I mean, it's easier.
And it works better.
It does, because you can dive into the story a lot more. Even though you do six episodes, that's a six-hour-long movie.
Yeah.
You know, so far what we've gotten in the past two episodes is we've got the Inquisitors. We've got the live action Inquisitors, live action version of the Grand Inquisitor, which we'll go into here in a minute. And they are basically hunting down Jedi, which is what they do. They hunt Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, so Obi-Wan Kenobi takes place 10 years after Revenge of the Sith, 9 years before Rogue One and A New Hope, and just a couple years before Rebels. So Rebels takes place a couple years after the story of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've got the Inquisitors coming. We see Obi-Wan, you know, he's kind of basically gone into hiding. He's changed his name to Ben. And, you know, he works at a meat hacking plant type thing.
Whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't want to work there. But
basically what it looks like is, it looks like this, you know, meat, or this
it's a meat conveyor belt.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, parked next to a crate dragon. That's kind of what that looks like.
Yeah.
You know, he's there, he's cutting up meat. He's got his, you know, his little animal that he rides and stuff like that. And he's kind of been beaten down by time.
Yeah.
You know, time has not been kind to him.
Visually it has. It looks like he hasn't aged a bit.
This is true, because he's going to age a lot in the next couple years to look like the original Obi-Wan.
Something's going to scare that pretty brown hair of his out of his skull. And I'm guessing it's going to be Darth Vader, but we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's basically become a shell of his former self. You know, I mean, he's not a Jedi, obviously, because he had to go into hiding. He is not, honestly, he's not what I would have expected from Obi-Wan at this point. You know, I kind of figured he would have become a recluse, still would have been in tune with the Force, and, you know, still kind of powerful, but I can understand why he's kind of cut himself off from the Force, mainly because
of the Inquisitors. I think we'll see him bounce back a little bit, and reconnect, because there were scenes and trailers of certain things and him doing stuff and whatnot. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he's really become a shell of his former self. And then, you know, we get to see young Leia. We see, you know, we see Luke, we see Ben, and, you know, we see the... we get to see why... not Ben, sorry. Owen. Uncle Owen. We get to see why he's such a dick in A New Hope. You know, why he doesn't want Luke having anything to do with Ben Kenobi, why he doesn't want him following in his father's footsteps and stuff like that. So, you know, we get to see that whole ordeal. We get to see why, you know, that is such a big deal. Then we get to see young Leia with Bail Organa and his wife. We get to see beautiful, beautiful Alderaan.
Yeah, Alderaan looks amazing. They really nailed that one on the head.
Oh, yeah. And then Leia gets kidnapped. Because the Inquisitor wants to hunt down Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
I feel like this, the series is going to be, the main story is going to be him trying to get Leia back to Bail Organa. back to Alderaan.
I'm hoping that doesn't take up the whole thing because it's Kenobi. It's Obi-Wan. But then if that's the case, then it's just going to be more of a buddy cop thing. Not really buddy cop, but like a buddy movie with Obi-Wan and Leia. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be...
I don't want Leia to steal the show, if that makes sense.
And I agree with you. I don't want this to be just Obi-Wan going off on one adventure.
Because then it's just going to turn out to be like a Mando and Grogu situation.
Yeah.
Like, you got your father figure, your uncle figure, your older, kind of rough and tough and grizzled veteran, and you got a cute and adorable little being that's kind of a pain in your ass. But that's okay. Because they're cute and adorable and we like them.
Because now there's only 3 episodes left.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that's where this is going. Because they're not doing multiple series. It's a one shot. It's a mini series. Like WandaVision was. WandaVision was a mini series. And I really don't want it to be focused on Obi-Wan trying to get Leia back to, back to Alderaan, because that kind of, that kind of negates some things in A New Hope and in some other, because when we get the message from Leia in A New Hope, it's years ago you served my father in the Clone Wars, blah, 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 blah. But there's never any mention of her ever meeting Obi-Wan.
Because she met Ben.
Yeah.
If they take that as serious as I hope they're not going to, then she would have met Ben, not Obi-Wan.
True.
Because Luke's heard the same stories, or similar stories. He knows Obi-Wan, Clone Wars, blah, 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 blah. You know a man named Obi-Wan? He was like, of course I do. That's me. I'm Ben, Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
That whole little reveal thing. But yeah, I mean, she would technically met Ben, not Obi-Wan. So, as far as she knows, she was rescued by a weird old man named Ben, not an Obi-Wan Kenobi. So I don't think he tells her his last name. He doesn't go, I'm Ben Kenobi. Well, I'm Ben.
I don't know. There are some pretty cool scenes in it. Episode 3 is kind of cool. I'm still waiting to see. There's 3 more episodes, so I'm holding any judgment of the entire series until I see the rest of them, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good because it's Star Wars and because, the visual effects and everything are really good. But
yeah,
it's not quite what I expected it to be, if that makes any sense.
I saw this going in this direction, but I didn't know how they were going to bring Obi-Wan off-world. We knew he was going off-world, which I was totally against at first. It's like, there's no reason why he needs to be off-world. Well, now there kind of is. I wasn't expecting them to bring Leia in the mix, but... it just goes to show that the time between episode 3 and 4 wasn't all just boring and Empire being dictators and whatnot. Stuff went on during that time.
Yeah. And I will say, you know, there's a part of me that's kind of glad they took Obi-Wan off-world. But, you know, between episodes 3 and 4, you know, you kind of get that feeling that he spent all of his time on Tatooine looking after Luke.
Yeah. I think that's what we should have got, because, you know, I hear people complaining, well, what can you do with Obi-Wan on a desert planet? You can do a whole lot.
Yeah.
He could be talking to Qui-Gon. He could be learning how to become a Force ghost. He could be training in the desert. He could be doing little ins and outs jobs of, you know, different magnitudes for people on Tatooine. He could have had people come and visit him, like Ahsoka, and, you know, there could have been,
yeah,
like a little Commander Cody thing in there. And the number one thing I wish we would have saw and we will not get now is why he altered Anakin's lightsaber. Why he changed it. And we never got that.
What do you mean?
In episode 3, Anakin's lightsaber was a bit longer, skinnier. The prop was a bit longer, skinnier, and it was chrome-plated. Everything was chrome-plated in the prequels. It had a different switchboard. It had a different top button thing. The whole prop was different besides, like, the silhouette. In episode 4, it changed. It had the switch on the other side, and it had different grips. It had a different switchboard. It had the bubble strip instead of the circuit switch. It had a different button. It had the glass eye, the signature glass eye on the episode 4 version. In episode 5, it changes. It's got, you know, different grips, different this, different that. Episode 5 is the superior version, by the way. And then episode 7, it changed. It's kind of a mix between 4 and 5's version. But I wish we would have saw that scene of him just tinkering with it. Like, it doesn't have to be a whole episode. Just like a scene of him tinkering with it or buying parts for it or doing something with it.
Yeah.
Instead of it just being in a box.
Yeah, that was kind of weird that he just kind of... And I guess...
How the shit did he know where he buried that? The desert shifts and moves, and he didn't bury it that deep. And it sat there for 10 years like that. I'm surprised if the thing even turns on, because they have to be charged. You know?
Yeah. Well, maybe he grabbed it and charged it at his hut. So, I mean, we don't even have... So, we don't have Obi-Wan's hut yet. You know, Ben's hut. He's living in a cave right now. You notice that?
Yeah.
It's very different from what he had in episode 4. And even in Rebels. You know, so there's a little bit of retconning going on in
I don't know if it's retconning or if it's just they haven't got to it yet. Or he went from living in the cave to living in the hut, you know.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe his cave gets infiltrated and now he's got to move.
Or he's tired of living in a cave.
Maybe.
Builds a hut or, you know, buys it. Who knows?
Yeah. So one of the biggest issues that I have with the show so far, and this has been one of the biggest issues that pretty much every Star Wars fan has had, is the look of the Grand Inquisitor.
I don't have a big problem with it. It could have been better, but it's whatever. You know?
And then we get the death, quote-unquote, of the Grand Inquisitor.
Yeah. I don't know if he's dead, because we saw, people can get brought back from that sort of thing, I guess. I don't know. That's the thing I don't like about Disney Star Wars in general, is they're just bringing people back from the dead or preventing deaths like that. Like, that was the entire premise of episode 3, was Anakin trying to prevent his wife's death. And now all of a sudden, after Padme's dead, everybody can just get fucking brought back to life with robotics or the Force. And it just be okay and hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Like, that's not... Stop doing that. And that's the thing that... I hate to, you know, complain, but it's the thing that Dave Filoni does. Death isn't a thing in Dave Filoni's vocabulary when it comes to making these shows. He doesn't kill off important characters. He brought back Darth Maul. He brought back Ahsoka. He damn near might as well just bring back Padme. you never know.
Yeah, because, I mean, honestly, if the Grand Inquisitor dies in Obi-Wan Kenobi, then half of Season 2 of Rebels is completely retconned.
The first two seasons of Rebels is retconned, because he was a major player in those.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that was... And there are some, you know, people saying, okay, well, you know, he's not exactly dead and stuff like that, but we saw Qui-Gon die from that.
Me and my buddies are doing the science of how Qui-Gon died, because we're like, well, he just got stabbed in the liver and it cauterizes. How's he dead? But there was some other factors that went into Qui-Gon's death. And then the Grand Inquisitor is an alien, so his biology is different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or it might be different. Who knows?
Yeah, because Han Solo died the same way.
He also fell like 5,000 feet.
Yeah, but he was dead before he fell.
Was he? Because we didn't really see him. He just was like, oh, I'm dead. And then he pushed over the edge. Who knows? Getting killed by a lightsaber kind of sucks. Because you don't really die. So what we deduced with Qui-Gon was, well, he got stabbed in the liver, and at worst his, you know, spinal cord is severed, and he gets cut in the spine. But there's like a major artery or vein that sits right there where he was stabbed, and we kind of deduced that he got stabbed there and it cauterized, and, you know, he has no blood flow, major blood flow going through his body at all. And he kind of died a slow, painful death. Like when we saw him, he promised me you'll train, and then he, you know, blah, he's dead.
Passed out, yeah.
I don't think he died right there. I think he may have just passed out due to blood loss, and Obi-Wan was like, oh, he's dead. And then he eventually died of lack of blood flow and oxygen to the brain. I think Qui-Gon died a very slow and painful death. It wasn't just a quick, oh, I'm dead. It was a and then maybe 20 minutes later he died.
Yeah.
How long it takes you to die from lack of oxygen and blood to the brain. But it's definitely very painful.
Yeah.
Like, he was in a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah. So he probably passed out from the pain. And he probably let his force essence go.
Yeah, like, there was just no saving him. And he was old.
Yeah.
Or older. There was really no point in keeping him going.
My thing is you would think after 10 years of being on Tatooine and having all that time to meditate and stuff like that, Obi-Wan would have been able to reach Qui-Gon Jinn.
I think the theory or the assumption is that in those 10 years, instead of meditating and focusing his force abilities, he cut himself off. Like, he told Yoda that he was going to train and blah, 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 blah. But I think he just got scared and was done with that life completely. And was, well, as we can see, he's done being a Jedi, or was done being a Jedi. And just completely left that life behind and said, screw it. Screw what Yoda said, I'm done. Basically pulled a Luke Skywalker in Episode 7. Just dipped, left, and cut himself off from the Force.
Yeah. Which is understandable for Obi-Wan. Not really understandable for Luke. Like,
yeah, Luke
whole...
was just being a big old bitch. Obi-Wan literally witnessed and dealt with the death, the mass genocide of millions of Jedi being slaughtered. Children, women, men, aliens. Luke, he had an angsty nephew and was going to kill him.
Yeah.
He just had a difficult nephew, and he was like, I want to kill this fucker. And then it backfired on him, and he kind of, I feel like Luke kind of went away due to embarrassment and failure instead of, you know, an extremely traumatizing experience.
Or maybe the fear that, you know, Han and Leia would kick his ass knowing that he wanted to kill their son.
Yeah, instead of, you know, talking. And I don't hold that against Luke. The sequel Luke is not my Luke.
No, that's episode 4 Luke if Obi-Wan had not intervened.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, like I said, I'm going to reserve final judgment until I see the last 3 episodes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll probably have to watch the last one or second to last one on my phone while I'm in Oklahoma. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, it's good visually. It's good to see Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan again. And I like how, you know, they brought in Owen Lars, how we got to see a young Luke Skywalker, a young Leia, and, you know, Bail Organa's back. We get to see the Inquisitors. It was a little rough around the edges. I feel like it could have been fine-tuned a little better so far.
Yeah.
But, again, you know, I'll reserve final judgment for the last...
So far, it's better than Boba Fett.
Definitely. Not a
certain Mandalorian. Yeah, I don't know if I would say... The nostalgia factor really kicks in for Obi-Wan, but story-wise, I don't know. So far, I don't know if it is on the level. They did. I don't know what the hell kind of god they prayed to get Mandalorian. I still argue to this day it's one of the best pieces of Star Wars content we've ever gotten. Like, there's episode 5 and episode 6 in the Clone Wars, and then there's the Mandalorian. It's in that same bracket, same tier.
Yeah. The thing is,
yeah, we'll see where Obi-Wan is. I don't think Obi-Wan could do as bad as Boba Fett. I don't think it could do as bad as, you know, Rogue One, Solo, the sequels. I think it'll be a
story.
If Mandalorian and then Empire Strikes Back are a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, I think Obi-Wan will be a 7 or 8 out of 10.
I can agree with you on that. I think the reason why The Mandalorian works so well is because they're using...
It's original. And it's good.
It's original.
Kathleen Kennedy has nothing to do with it.
Well, they're using lore from Star Wars, but
they
they're not
care
using
about
characters. You know, the first character that we get from, you know, the other Star Wars content is Ahsoka. You know, that's the first one we get was Ahsoka. You know, and then we've got Bo-Katan and Boba Fett and Luke. You know, other than that, it's a story that is set in the Star Wars universe that is not based around characters from the Skywalker saga. I think that's why it works so well, is because, honestly, the Skywalker saga, while it is phenomenal, and I'm glad they did an Obi-Wan series, honestly, the Skywalker saga it's a dead horse.
It's time has passed. We need to move on. But I don't think we need to, like, completely nullify it, like, get rid of character, like, stop including characters. Because I like the inclusion of Luke Skywalker in Mando Season 2. I like having Ahsoka come back. I like having these characters return, but they're not the main focal point. Like, this isn't a Luke Skywalker show. This is a Mandalorian show. Like, when those two are on screen, you know how big of a Luke Skywalker fan I am.
Yeah.
When those two are on screen, those are equals. Mando and Luke, those are equals in the show. Like, nobody's overdoing anybody. Like, they're equals. Like, Luke doesn't overdo everybody. He doesn't overpower in terms of his presence, his screen presence. He has his moments, but he's a main character that isn't doing too much. He's doing exactly what he needs to do.
He's the main character that makes cameos. Is what it is.
Yeah, I can see him being in further, like, I can see him being in season 3. I can see him being in the Ahsoka series. But I don't see him having, like, a major, major role.
No.
You know, no. The mechanic on Tatooine that gives Mando his new ship, I see Luke having those kind of interactions. Like,
yeah.
It's a once in a couple episode or even a couple season thing.
When it's needed to move the story along.
Yeah.
So.
With that being said, I wouldn't mind if they included him a little bit more. I think he looks great, what they're doing with him.
Yeah.
Just don't make it completely, like, don't make it a Mando, Luke, and Grogu show. It's called The Mandalorian. Keep it about The Mandalorian, because we like him. He's one, again, his show is on that same level. Mando as a character is honestly on that same level as the Obi-Wan's, Luke's,
yeah,
Ahsoka's. They have done something that I have not witnessed any other form of media do. Some of them have done it, I just can't think of right off the top of my head. But when's the last time you saw a new Batman villain that was new and then stuck?
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you see a new Captain America villain that is new and has stuck? The companies haven't done anything new and it stick. Mando is something new and it's an instant classic. Everybody loves it. You can't really get rid of him now.
The best thing about The Mandalorian is that it's a new character that is set in an established universe. It is very, like you said, it's very hard to bring in new characters in an established universe because they're going to be criticized. You know, they're going to be critiqued. They're going to be nitpicked so much to the point that, you know, people aren't going to like them. Whereas with The Mandalorian, it was just kind of like, okay, here's this bounty hunter guy. It's set in the Star Wars universe, but it's not about the Skywalkers. It's about this guy who's a bounty hunter who has to kind of find, you know, his way in this tumultuous universe. You know, we don't have a lot of the big politics that we had in, you know, the Skywalker saga. We don't have the politics of the government, whether it's the New Republic, the Grand Republic, or the Empire. You know, we don't have those politics there. It's this guy trying to make his way through what is there. You know, we get glimpses of it with these Grand Moffs that still hold territories and still have, you know, the remnants of the Empire that are still around, but it's not anybody trying to beat the Empire. It's this guy making his way through this universe.
He's having like the best way I can describe Mandalorian is he's having a D&D adventure. What comes his way, he takes it head on, and then he moves on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a quest, it's an adventure, he's developing, and so far they've done great, you know. It's been a while since any company has been able to do something like this. You know, DC did it with the Court of Owls. That's kind of been like a staple thing that people love. And it's a relatively new thing. Marvel hasn't done anything like that that I can think of right now. They may have. Unless it was something MCU related, like they took a liberty or they took what's that called? Inspiration from other characters and made this character. I don't know. I think this is one of the first times where a company has done something new and it works.
I agree. And it works perfectly because it fits within the universe because it's not trying to outdo any of the other
it's one of those things where people are like, damn, I wish I would have thought of that. Every step of the way. Like with Mando, oh, I wish I would have thought of that. Like a Mandalorian, and now everybody's infatuated with Mandalorians now.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets his new armor, his design. Like, oh, I wish I would have thought of that design. Like that design is, he's like the perfect. He can shoot, he can fight, he can do it all.
Yeah.
And then he gets the Darksaber.
The Darksaber.
Oh yeah, and then he gets the Beskar spear, and he gets the Darksaber, and you know now he's a badass character, and then. You know, Luke Skywalker comes along. He gets a new ship. Like, the Razor Crest was one of my favorite ship designs, impractical as that may be. I love the design. It had a nice home feeling to it, and I loved it.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, I wish I would have thought of that. And then it gets destroyed. I'm like, well, damn, what's he going to do now? And I thought I was ahead of Disney. I was like, he's going to get Boba Fett's second ship, isn't he? He's going to do the slave too. No, he got a goddamn... Naboo Starfighter. Who the hell thinks of that? And it's cool. Like, it doesn't look stupid. Like, most people, they try to create something new and original, and it's like, that's kind of dumb. Or like, I don't know if that's it. Every step of the way, there's just, boom, nailing it right on the head. Bringing in lore, bringing in this. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing.
They're not trying to change the lore. They're not trying to retcon anything. They're not trying to change anything. They're... going with the flow with this character.
Yeah.
You know, they're keeping it within the confines of the Star Wars universe, and I love that.
Yeah, it's something else. I really like it. I really like what they're doing, and I hope they can keep it going with Obi-Wan, and... I don't know if I don't know if they can replicate this, but they'll get pretty close.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll see some things come out. I'm kind of looking forward to The Acolyte, which is set in the Old Republic, like 9,000 years before. I think it's 9,000 years before Episode 1. So we'll get to see Jedi basically at the height of their the height of their power, for lack of better terms. So,
yeah.
Not really looking forward to the Andor series, because I really don't give a shit about him. He's one of those characters that... He was a character in a movie that never should have been made.
So, yeah. And so, Acolyte takes place in the High Republic era.
Okay.
It'll be at, like, the peak of... Jedi, it'll be Yoda, it'll have, you know, the High Republic books?
Yeah.
It'll be sort of like that, take place during that area.
Okay.
So I'm guessing we'll probably see, like, a younger Yoda, younger this, younger that, and whatnot. But yeah, I'm excited. I hope they show Darth Plagueis. That'd be cool. It'll be around that time.
Yeah.
The way that most of these things are describing it is it's the final days of the High Republic, like right before shit hits the fan with Palpatine and stuff. So it'd be pre-Palpatine, post-Revan.
Okay.
So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, not too excited for Andor. I mean, it looks interesting. Looks okay.
I'll watch it just because it's Star Wars.
I'm excited for the Ahsoka series, in all honesty. That and Mando Season 3.
I am too. I'm excited for both of those. Mando Season 3 comes out end of this year, beginning of next year. Ahsoka comes out next year.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Should be good. Got high hopes for it all. You know, there's certain characters that may be cast and whatnot and be put in. We'll just have to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we'll get something out of it.
Yeah. In other news, Stranger Things Season 4 Part 1 came out.
I've seen the first two episodes.
Yeah,
They're like little mini movies. They're an hour and 20 minutes long a piece.
Yeah. I've seen the first two episodes in full. And then the rest of the season, I finished the season. Rest of the season was either just have it on, not really paying attention too much, skipping forward, you know, just getting to watch it. It's been out, or it's been anticipated so long. I just wanted to see the ending. I watched it. Yeah, I'll have to rewatch it. But the first two episodes that I actually paid attention.
Yeah.
I don't know. They're really doing something, and they kind of did it throughout the whole series, but they're kind of doing it a lot in season four of there's multiple storylines going on, but they're all going on at the same time. I don't mind a bunch of storylines going on. I just don't like how one group of people are doing something, and then in the same episode, it just jump cuts to another group of people doing something. I wouldn't say it's hard to follow. It's just kind of messy. And they could have just split those up, like have a set of characters for a whole episode, and then have another set of characters for a whole episode. Like have story arcs instead of having like the California people doing stuff, and then I gotta remember, I don't want to do spoilers.
Hawkins, Indiana people doing stuff.
Yeah, you're at the
yeah.
Well, you have the California people, right?
Yeah.
And then in the California people, you have Winona Ryder's character, the mother. I forgot her name.
Uh-huh.
And then you have the other person. And then you have the kids.
Yeah.
And in the kids, you have Mike and Eleven, and then Will and his older brother, which I can't remember his name. Mike and Eleven are doing something over here. Will's older brother and some stoner are doing something over here. Will's stuck in the middle, and they all have different things going on at the same time. So
yeah.
it's like a branch. All these people have something going on at the same time. While at the same time, you come back up here, the kids and the mother, they have different things going on at the same time. And then you come back up here, the California people, the Hawkins people, and Hawkins has the same branch. Yeah, there's like 7,000 things going on in this season. And they're all going on at the same time. Half of these problems that everybody's having could be solved with a phone call or just talking to people. Like, there's an instance in, I think it was the second episode, where the mom, you got, remind me, episode two. She got the package from Russia?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you figure out what was in the package?
Yeah, it was the doll, and she smashed the doll, and it had the note.
Okay, so you know about the
and
guy
she
going to
the
California.
Number.
Yeah, she called the number.
Yeah.
Okay, so that whole thing irritates me. Why are they gatekeeping Hopper's existence? Why wouldn't you tell Eleven and Mike that Hopper's alive? I know she wants to keep the kids safe, blah, 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 blah. But, like, hey, Mom, what's going on? Oh, you know, I got this weird guy over at my house that you maybe met. I can't even remember. But it's just this season's pretty messy.
So, the things that you find irritating about it, I actually kind of enjoy, to a point. I can see where you're coming from, but
I would just wish they would do it less. Because I can remember the California kids doing something, and then it cuts to Hawkins. It's like, well, I was wanting to know what they were doing, because the way they cut it sometimes, you just was not in the right spot. And then they would move to something in Hawkins, and then when they're in Hawkins, it'll be... Shit, is Nancy, Mike's older sister?
Yeah, Nancy.
Nancy's going to be doing something with this guy, with the nerd guy. And she's doing something while the rest of the kids are doing the D&D stuff while the other guy is playing back. There's just 5,000 different things going on. And they can just all wrap it up. Like the Nancy and Mike's older brother, their issues could literally be solved with a phone call.
Yeah, but, okay, so they're teenagers, number one. They're teenagers in the 80s, number two. That's not so...
Well, hold on, time out. Mike and Eleven communicated throughout the whole summer with letters and phone calls.
But they had a strong relationship, a strong-ish relationship. They had their relationship.
Right, but then Will's older brother and Nancy are just complaining and venting, like, oh, my God, I can't believe she's not coming out here, or I don't think I want to go to college with her. I don't know how she feels. Caller. Send her a letter. Communicate. You just can't assume that she's gonna fly out with her brother. Like, she's got stuff she's gotta do, and then she can't assume that he's gonna come back and visit her. It's just, hey, what are you doing the spring break? Oh, you know, I'm busy. Oh, okay. It's that simple. But no, they worry about it for far too long, and it kind of takes up a weird amount of time, and it cuts away from an important storyline. The season's not bad. It's just
it's.
I don't like how they jump. I don't like. It's like Austin directed this season. I swear to God, it's like he directed the season. But further on in the season, I like what they're doing.
Well, I've only seen the first two episodes, so
yeah,
can't go.
I like what they're doing.
That.
You know the villain?
Don't know if I know the villain yet. Oh, the bad guy that they showed right at the end, where he
yeah, I mean he was in the trailer. Vecna. I like him. He looks cool. I like his concept. One thing I really like about this season is the gore. Top notch, top tier.
Yeah. That's what I'm looking forward to, because you know me, I love gore, you know.
Yeah.
The gorier the better. And you know, when the cheerleader first was like thrown up to the ceiling and you know bones started breaking and you know twisting and contorting and you know then her eyes like fucking blew out of her socket and shit like that, I thought that was
very Wanda Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah. So, I like how they're doing that, and I like how they're getting deeper into, like, the horror factor of what the TV show's about, is supposed to be about.
And I don't hate the entire show. There's stuff that they do in the show that I like, and I can't say, but they do some things with certain characters that I'm a big fan of. And they do things with other characters that I'm not so big a fan of. But it gets resolved somehow.
It always does.
This season is very up and down for me. You know, previous seasons, I was like, okay, it's pretty good. This season, I'm like, eh.
Look, what's his name? We'll have to sing the song from Never Ending Story again, and then, you know, everything will be fine.
Yeah. And then it's split into two parts. There'll be two more episodes released in July for some reason. And they're each almost 2 hours long. One of them is an hour and a half, and then the other one is 2.5 hours. It's like a whole movie. I swear to God, if there's 7,000 different storylines going on in that, I'm going to lose it.
So.
Yeah. Stranger Things Season 4, it's okay. I wouldn't say it's great like the others. It's pretty good, though. It's not the worst they've done. It's not the best, though.
I'm looking forward to, because I'll probably watch another episode or two tonight. You know, just to continue the storyline. So. But.
Pretty good TV going on.
Yeah, there's actually a lot more going on in, you know, small screen news than there is in big screen news. One of the biggest things in big screen news, 9 days, The next Jurassic World comes out.
Yeah. Oh, just because I thought of it. Heartbreaking news. Ray Liotta has passed away.
Yes. Yeah.
Rest in peace to Ray Liotta. I don't think I've seen a single one of his movies, but I saw him in Chantix commercial. So, rest in peace to him. I know he was in...
He was in The Godfather.
Okay, I can't remember if it was Goodfellas or Godfather. I know he was in that.
Yeah.
And he was in a couple other feature films. But, yeah. Top Gun Maverick has been released. I'll be watching that soon.
Yeah, hopefully I can get to the theaters. Probably not going to be this week. Maybe next week I can, you know, get to the theaters to see that and Jurassic World when it comes out. So, you know, maybe I'll do a double feature next week before we leave. So we'll see about that. Weird news. I posted this on the Facebook page, and I'm actually looking it up again right now. So, there is a horror movie version of Winnie the Pooh on its way.
I saw memes about that. I didn't know if it was a true thing or not.
It is. It is.
Okay, well, that's
called
extra
Blood
weird.
And Honey. Yep. Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. Winnie the Pooh, I think, is... according to IMDb, the movie follows Pooh and Piglet as they go on a rampage after Christopher Robin abandons them. It adds it's a horror retelling of the famous legend of Winnie the Pooh.
Does it say who's making it?
Like
Blumhouse, A24...
Let me see. Hold on. Let me get here. There's a live-action version of Pinocchio coming.
Again?
Yeah.
That one just came out.
That was a while ago. But...
There was a Pinocchio movie that just came out. It was in the Oscars. Either Oscars last year or this year. It's December 2022. Initial release.
Yeah.
Okay. It's a Netflix movie. Mm.
Okay. Let's see.
Finn Wolfhard, Ewan McGregor, Tilda Swinton, Kate Blanchett. Whoa. That's a big old cast. Ron Perlman.
Really? Huh.
John Turturro, Christopher Waltz, Ron Perlman,
okay,
Ewan McGregor. Wow.
So it's the production company for Blood and Honey is Jagged Edge Productions. They did The Curse of Humpty Dumpty last year, Legend of Jack and Jill. Trying to see... any movies that we might have seen. Doesn't look like it. Looks like these are just
terrible movies.
Curse of Humpty Dumpty 2, Return of Krampus, Pterodactyl. Like low budget movies.
These have Sharknado written all over it.
Yeah, pretty much. Also in horror news, there is an It series coming to HBO Max in 2023.
Like the Clown?
Yeah. Yeah.
Again?
Welcome to Derry.
I hope it's a prequel thing and they're not just redoing it again.
I'll have to look up. Let me see if I can find more about it. Um, I think it's a prequel series. Yeah.
Okay.
So probably talking about you know, how he, I don't know. We'll see. But it looks like a prequel series. Probably looking at, you know, some of his kills and stuff like that. So, cause it was like once every, 100 years or something like that.
I'm 27.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, once every 27. Kind of like Jeepers Creepers. I think Jeepers Creepers was once every 23.
Something like that.
I know they're also doing a remake for that, too.
Hopefully without the pedophilia attached to it. That'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be really nice. And hopefully better than Jeepers Creepers 3. Because that was just absolutely horrible. Horrible movie. So,
Jeepers Creepers 3, my dog stepped on a bee.
My dog stepped on a bee. Jeepers Creepers 3. Alright, so we actually didn't get to one of the topics that we had planned for tonight, which is okay.
I mean, I can make it brief, like really brief.
Critics bad, we good, there you go.
So tonight's topic is critics. Critics suck. Good night, everybody. It was a good show.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, we'll probably touch on a little more next week. Just to kind of dive into a little more why, you know, me and Alex personally don't like critics and why we don't listen to them and, you know, stuff like that. So, but, all right, we're down to the last 5 minutes of our show. I want to thank, before we go, I do want to ask everybody if, you know, I don't know, not ask everybody, just a little quick thing. Not sure if we're having a show on a Sunday. Tuesday, I believe it was. No, Monday. Monday morning, my co-host, Zach, was in an automobile accident. So, I mean, he's fine. His car's not. But he's fine. He's, you know, up and about and stuff. But I don't know if we're doing a show on Sunday. So, just be aware of that.
Happy belated birthday to Ethan.
Yes. Your brother, my son, happy belated birthday. His birthday was Sunday.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Was the 29th Sunday or Saturday?
Well, hold on.
My goodness. We didn't forget his birthday. We just don't know what day of the week it's on.
Yeah. It was Sunday.
All right, good.
Yeah, it was Sunday. No, we didn't forget his birthday. We just don't remember, you know, what day of the week it was on.
I don't even remember what day of the week mine was. So it's okay.
I don't remember when mine is half the time. So, all right.
Yeah.
All right. Yep. Down to the last couple minutes of our show. I want to thank Alex again, as always, for joining me tonight.
Good show.
It was definitely an interesting show. It was definitely an interesting show.
Hardest I've laughed in a while.
Yeah, the Holy Container. Anyway, I want to thank all of our listeners, supporters, and followers. We greatly appreciate you guys. Support your veterans, fire, police, and EMS. And
don't
always,
step on bees.
Don't step on bees.
Don't abuse your significant other.
Don't do any type of abuse at all. And as always, please be safe, be smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media. Every Sunday night for Movie of the Week. Every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace podcast, which is currently on hiatus. Every Wednesday night for The Cinephiles. Every Friday night for Note by Note. I hope you guys have a fantastic rest of your Wednesday. Hope you have a fantastic rest of your week. I'll keep you updated on what's going on for Sunday. But definitely back here next Wednesday.
Maybe.
Possibly back here next Wednesday for a show. Stay tuned to the pages to find out. I hope you all have a good night. From everybody here at Wiki Curiosity Media. Enjoy yourself. Be kind. And don't beat people.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.